Good morning. I feel like I needed to just remind you, God loves you. God loves you. Maybe you are lost, you feel lost, you are wandering. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Seek him and you will find. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Maybe you're a Christian and you feel far away from the Lord. Maybe you aren't feeling much at all. You're like, where is that feeling that I get? Maybe I'm just dry. Maybe it's because of sin. Maybe it's because of pride. Maybe it's because of just focusing on religious activity and not on a relationship. Guess what? Jesus loves you. He's right there. Seek him. You will find. You will find him. Maybe you're going through great times. You're having victory. Guess what? Jesus loves you. Continue to humble yourself. Continue to come to the foot of the cross. Jesus loves you. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We are in the midst of our message series in this book. And last week, we began to look at Peter's sermon on that incredible day at Pentecost. The sermon has been called the first Christian sermon of the new church because, you know, Christ ascended. He said, go wait for me. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the Helper. The Holy Spirit came, rested on each of them individually, just as we as believers receive the Holy Spirit, Christ in us. And then all this kind of chaos began to happen, but it was really not chaotic. It was just the Holy Spirit working through, using the apostles to speak languages of the people that were there. They were hearing the mighty works of the Lord, and they were saying, what does this mean? And so Peter gets up, he stands up, and he gives what some say is his greatest sermon. And we began to look at some of the reasons that this sermon was so powerful. And here's the first thing that we noticed. It was good. It was powerful because it had nothing to do with Peter. It had nothing to do with Peter. The sermon was great because it was simple. It was great because it made a defense of the gospel and what was happening. It was great because it was rooted in Scripture. And we will see this morning that it was great and awesome and powerful because what did Peter do? He preached Christ. He preached Christ. It was not his ideas, it was not his opinions about religion, it was not just 35 minutes of a hilarious story and a Bible verse at the end. It was that he preached Jesus Christ. And last week we saw that Peter, he first made a defense of all the chaos that was happening and that the people were witnessing. And it was not because the apostles were drunk. It was because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what Peter did, what we saw last week in that first half of the sermon, we saw that Peter went on and what did he use as his entire defense? What did he use as the background of this entire sermon? It was God's word. It was God's scripture. It was to bring truth. And he spoke from the prophet Joel. And from this scripture, he reminded the people that Christ is coming back, that he will bring justice, that he will be glorified, all things will be made right. But until Christ comes back, we are in that in-between time. And this was powerful good news for us as believers. I hope that we caught that last week. That yes, we know Christ is coming, and yes, we get to spend eternity with him forever, but right now, as we wait for him to come, as we look at this world and it looks terrible and chaotic and awful and we see all the bad news all the time, guess what? We as believers, you get to be here during this time. That's powerful news to us, and I don't think some of us really want to hear that, right? It's way more fun to sulk, isn't it? It's way more fun to sit around a table and talk about the bad things. I don't know why that is. Why do we love to do that? Why do we love to gripe and complain and say, oh, this is terrible? Because I think it gives us an opportunity to make fun of other people and be angry at other people, and we do all these things. But here's the thing for believers. God has put you in this moment right now, and we get to be here. We get to be here. Why? Because we get to see people come to Christ. And God has always used all the craziness in history to point people to Jesus. You get to be here. Teenagers, you guys get to be here. You get to be here in the school situation that you're in and whatever situations that you're in. Young adults, you get to be here starting out in your careers and all these things, and wherever you are, you get to be right there where those coworkers are lost and they're searching. Parents, we get to be here to train our children up to say, this is what's important. Yes, it's going to be difficult, but you get to be here and you have something to share with this lost world. It's the hope of Jesus Christ. And then Peter, in Acts 2:21 that we saw last week, he said in that last statement that we read, which was this, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's good news. If you're a believer here, you're saved. You called on the name of the Lord. You rejoice in that. You get to be here and to share Christ with others and witness other people calling on the name of the Lord. And so the tough question that we have to ask ourselves is this, and I think we have to ask it continually, is this: do we feel excited to be a part of this time? Do you feel excited, or are you depressed and worried and anxious and like, oh, poor me, if we can just get through this life. Oh, if we could just go hide over here for a time and just like protect ourselves and not have to deal with mean people and bad people. And I mean, or do you feel excited to get to be a part of this time? My hope is that we are beginning to see the vision or be reminded of the vision of this incredible calling that Jesus gave all his followers. I hope that we are beginning to feel excitement of getting to be a part of God's work, that when we come here to worship, we're like, thank you, Jesus. We are reminded of our filthy rags and that Christ saved us and that we are worshiping, and we sing these songs, and we see that in Scripture. We see that in the New Testament, that the people gather to sing and sing spiritual songs and pray and seek the Lord, but then they went out. And I hope that we are getting excited about being a part of this time, to be a part of this church family, to go and make disciples, to be part of God's work. I hope that we are remembering what the mission of the New Testament church is, which is, guess what? It's the mission of East Point Church too. It's because we're a New Testament church. We're followers of Jesus. So let me remind you, okay? No groaning, right? We're going to hear these verses over and over because we need to be reminded. Because the minute you walk out of this door, what do you see? Bad, 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 terrible, really bad. We need to be reminded what our mission is. Matthew 28:18-20. Maybe you just need to picture Jesus, standing there talking to you as an apostle, as a follower of Jesus Christ, telling you, hey, this is your mission too. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That was the last thing he told his followers of Christ, followers to go. And then before he ascended into heaven in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's everywhere. So go. Go. You didn't say go and make your little club, your little Christian club, and hang out together and never talk to people that don't know me. He said, go and make disciples. Yes, come and worship. And Paul would say, do not stop meeting together. Come and worship as the body of Christ. Walk beside each other. Pray together. Seek the Lord. Sing and worship together. Study God's word. And then go and get excited about seeing people come to Jesus. This is our calling. This is the vision of East Point Church. Worshiping together. Praising Jesus, praying together, opening God's word together, and then going out from this place to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And this is exactly what Peter is doing as he stands and proclaims Jesus in this first Christian sermon of the new church. And so what we're going to continue to do this morning is read the rest of that sermon. We're in part two of that sermon. And what we're going to do this morning, I'm not going to read this whole passage because it's a little bit lengthy, but we're going to read it as we go, as we walk through these other sections of this sermon. So let's pray this morning. I hope you're excited because what we're going to see is is Christ this morning. Christ being preached. And I know that if you will listen, it will impact your life. I promise you it will. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the cross, as we just sang about. Thank you for calling to us by name. Thank you for those of us that are saved. We know we're so humbled by your love for us. We're so thankful for the cross. And this morning, as we continue in this powerful sermon that is not about Peter, it's about you. It's about the Holy Spirit working through him. We're going to see Christ being preached. Let that impact our lives. Let it remind us of your love. Let us remind us of who you are. And let us get so excited to go and tell someone else about you. We love you, Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what made this sermon so great? It's that Peter preached Christ, okay? So what we see in these next few sections is he preached four things. He preached the incarnation of Christ, he preached the death of Christ, he preached the resurrection of Christ, and then he preached the exaltation of Christ. Peter is preaching the life of Christ. So in this first sermon, what does he do? He didn't just have four jokes and a little tidbit of a passage from the Old Testament. He preached the life of Christ. How do we tell others about Jesus? We tell them about Jesus, right? We tell them about Christ's life. And this is what Christ did. I mean, what Peter did as he preached the sermon. So what's the first thing that we see? Look at verse 22. So we continue in this passage and we see Peter preach the incarnation of Christ, the life of Christ. And he says this in verse 22. We're in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. So Peter's in the middle of a sermon, but he again says, listen, pay careful attention. He was asking the crowd of listeners to pay careful attention to his words. And in this verse 22, in this sermon, Peter is preaching the incarnation of Christ. He's basically saying this. Guess what? Jesus was a man. He was a real man. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. He came to this earth. He lived. This is historical. People saw him. Not only did he live, but he performed, as verse 22 says, he performed mighty works, wonders, and signs. Why was that important? Why was it important for Peter to remind those who were listening that he performed these mighty works and wonders and signs? What was so great about that, what was so important, was that while Jesus lived, he performed and provided proof of who he said he was. He performed miracles. He performed wonders. He performed signs. And the people that were there saw it. He was and is the Son of God, and he gave proof while he lived. And Jesus did these mighty works by God doing them through him. And he says he did it in your midst. What do you mean by that? He meant that the people that were listening, they knew it. They had seen it. Many of the people that were here at Pentecost and that were listening to this sermon had seen Jesus. They had seen and heard about what he had done. They could not claim ignorance at these mighty works. They were there listening, like, yeah, we know who Jesus was or is. We saw him. We watched him perform these, or someone told us about it. People had seen these mighty works, and at many times, if you look at the Gospels, they would run, and who would they tell? They would go tell the religious leaders that what they had seen by Jesus, what they had seen him do. So imagine yourself, okay? Imagine yourself listening to this sermon. You remember Jesus. You had seen him. You had gone and watched him perform a miracle. You had run and told the religious leaders, like, look at this, what? Look at what God had done through this man. And some of these same people that had witnessed the mighty works of God would be the same people yelling, crucify him. Some of those same people that were listening had seen the mighty works of Jesus and then had been there saying, crucify him, crucify him. Does anyone besides myself ever wonder what I would have done If I had been a Jew in that time and I'd seen this, would I have fallen at my knees before Jesus for salvation? Or would I have stood and wondered and questioned, and then would I have been in that midst of them saying, "Crucify him"? Does anyone ever think about that? I do. It's like, what would I have done? Where would I have been? What Peter was doing is he was preaching the evidence of who Jesus was and the mighty works that he did, saying this was undeniable. This was conclusive. But many had rejected Jesus. Why do people reject Jesus? Why had many of them rejected Jesus? We see this in John 3:13. It's because men and women, people, we love darkness. That's what Jesus would tell us. Why would people not see how awesome Jesus was and the works that he did and know that he was the Son of God? Why would there be people saying, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Because we love darkness. John 3:13 says, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." I always remind us, like, why are we so surprised when the lost world looks so bad? It's because they're lost. They're living in darkness. And Jesus says, go, be the light, be salt and light. Go into the world. And so many times we as Christians, we lock our doors and we come here and we kind of hide together, right? So how does the light get out there if we're all in here? And then every part of our life is kind of like in here. We've got to figure out how to fulfill the calling of being salt and light in this lost world. And so we need to understand that those living in darkness, they're in darkness. It shouldn't surprise us by the way they're living. So how do we've got to go and be the light, be salt, be that preservative, shine the light of Jesus. And so many of these people that were listening to the sermon, they had rejected Jesus. So what does Peter do? He goes on and he continues to preach Christ. He preaches that Christ came, that he was real, that he's the Son of God, but that he lived. And now we see that how Peter goes on and preaches the death of Christ. Look at verse 23. Just be asking yourself, like, okay, what is a great sermon? Well, here we go. It's Jesus, right? It's scripture, and it's preaching Christ, preaching who Christ is. So he's taught about the life of Christ. Now he goes on, he says, well, here's the death of Christ. 23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Why was it so important that this truth be made known? This verse, we might go, okay, yeah, he's talking about the death of Christ, but the wording that Peter uses here, delivered up according to God's plan, right? The point here is this, and we need to understand this as well. Jesus was not a victim. Jesus was not a victim. He was delivered up according to the plan and foreknowledge of God. This was part of God's plan. This was God's sovereignty at work. God gave his only son to be the savior of the world. God gave his only son. Jesus was not a victim. Jesus went willingly to the cross to die for you and for me. What did I hear? Praise God. Yes. I mean, that's what we should all be saying. It's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that he went to the cross. So he was not a victim. He loved you so much that he died for you. Amen. Amen. Right? You want to hear some good news this morning? Try not to overlook this. Okay, I know we wouldn't consciously say, I'm not going to listen to this verse, but there's a reason why some of us let this verse glaze over us, because it's John 3:16. Oh yeah, John 3, I've known that since I was 5, you know. Listen to this verse. Don't miss the power of this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. That is powerful. That is a reminder to us of how much God loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his only son. Jesus did not unwillingly go to the cross. He gave his only son, and Jesus went to the cross for you and for me because why? He loves us. That whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let us never tire from hearing this truth. This should bring us to our knees in worship every day, every week. Let us never tire from sharing this good news to a lost world. I was listening to a podcast this last week, and a man was talking about a meeting that he had with someone that was who was very, very lost, and they came, and he's like, let's meet for coffee, and so they did, and he was just going to talk to him about some issues that this person believed in, and they were very different, and the guy pulled out like 10 pages of defense, and he came, and you know, this lost person came and was just attacking, and it's like, well, I've written all this stuff out, here's where you're wrong, and all this stuff, and the man finally the Christian finally said felt in his mind, he's like, you just need to tell this man, just stop for a second and tell him something. And he did. He said, can I just tell you something? God loves you. He loves you. He said the man just began to weep. Powerful word. He didn't say, well, let me tell you where you're wrong and pull out his 20 pages of defense. He just said, the Holy Spirit said, just tell him how much God loves you. And he did. Let us never tire from hearing. Let us never tire from sharing the good news that Jesus loves a lost world. This was God's predetermined plan. Jesus was no victim. Peter is preaching to those listening that Jesus was delivered to death by God's eternal plan. And what happened to Jesus was the darkest moment in all of history. However, it was God's eternal plan. The death of Jesus Christ also confirmed that he was who he said he was. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And Peter, what is Peter doing here? These people that have gathered saying, tell us more. What does this mean? And what is he doing? He's preaching Christ crucified. That's what's powerful. It's Jesus Christ. Let's just take a moment. Would you just bow your heads? We're not done, so don't get your hopes up there. We're not done yet. We're not going to the invitation. Sorry, band, don't come up running up here. Would you just thank Jesus for the cross? Would you just thank Jesus for how much he loved you to go willingly, that he was no victim? He was fulfilling the plan of God. Just thank him for the cross. I don't know if we do that enough. We might do it, you know, just with words sometimes. We sing about it. We just thank him for the cross. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. I pray that if there's someone here that just needs to be reminded of how much you love them, would you just remind them this morning? Maybe someone listening online or that will find this video who knows when, that they would just hear that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them and that whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be. Thank you for the cross. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Peter is preaching Christ. You know, there's websites where you can go and find thousands of sermons to preach and all these things. And we, you know, and these, I mean, I've got books that are like sermon, like hundreds of thousands of sermon illustrations and all these things. And I just, we look back at Peter in this first sermon. What's he doing? He's just preaching Jesus. He's just saying, here's Jesus came and then he died for you. And then we get some great more news here. And it's when Peter is preaching the resurrection of Christ. Jesus did not stay dead. He is alive. Let's look at verses 24 through 32. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. I love that verse. For David says, so Peter goes back and he's quoting more scripture, a psalm of David. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. In verse 29, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Those words that David was saying was Jesus. It was not about David. Verse 30, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Peter has preached the life of Christ, that he came, that he was a man, he was 100% God, but he came, and these people had seen him. And then he died on the cross, but now he's preaching the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ was central to the apostles' preaching always. Why? Because it was the culmination of redemptive history. It was all kind of came to that moment, and they preached the resurrection of Christ. It proves who Christ was. He was the Messiah. He defeated death. If Christ did not rise, it would have been just another death of a great man, right? It would have been just another death of, or maybe a crazy man, right? It was, but that was not the case. The resurrection is the proof that Jesus was truly the Messiah. And this is why there are so many verses here talking about the resurrection of Christ. And I love verse 24. God raised him up from death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Do you believe that? This is the God we serve. This is Jesus, our Savior. Do you believe it? I mean, if you don't, then why are you here? Like, why waste your time with religion, right? It's just another thing to add to your list. But if you believe that Christ rose from the grave, that's massive. That's what we stand on. Christ is real. Christ came, he died, and he rose from the grave. He defeated death. We're going to see in a second. He sits at the right hand of the Father. This is why we come to church. This is why we share Christ. This is what gives us hope. We don't serve a block of wood, right? I'm so amazed at people like, how do you spend all your time worshiping this little statue? We don't serve a golden statue. We don't serve a dead philosopher. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. This has stuck with me for the rest of my life. And I know I've said it so many times, and I'm sorry that I have to keep bringing this up. But, you know, one of the worst things I'd ever witnessed in my life was when Garrett and I were in Nepal, and we went to the monkey temple. And I've told you this so many times. But it was the saddest thing that I'd ever seen, of these people in a line coming by and turning these little wheels to dead people, worshiping idols. And the children being taught to turn these wheels and maybe things will be okay. In this filthy temple with crazy monkeys running around, literally. Like, this is so sad. We don't serve a golden statue. We don't serve someone who's dead. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus is alive, and we know it. He presented himself alive to the apostles. Isn't that cool how the very first part of Acts, that's what's mentioned, and he presented himself alive. This is proof. Jesus is alive. And so what is Peter quoting here? He's quoting Psalm 16, if you're writing that down, and he's talking to David's talking, but David was given this, as a prophecy. It was a psalm about Jesus. And David says, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. What was David talking about? He was talking about the joy of Jesus. The joy that Jesus had of going to the cross. That sounds crazy, right? That doesn't mean that there was agony, there was pain, but there was a joy that was set before him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This was the joy that was set before him. David is talking about that. Peter goes on, nailing down this argument of the resurrection. This Psalm of David could not have been. Why is he talking about the tomb of David? It's because this Psalm that David is writing could not have been fulfilled by David. but only Jesus. Why? Because David died. He was buried. We have his tomb. His tomb is with us to this. David was just a man, but he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ. This Jesus God raised up and he exalted at the right hand of the Father. And so what does Peter do? He closes his sermon out with the exaltation of Christ. Look at verses 33 through 36. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the exaltation of Christ. We've seen the life of Christ. We've seen Peter preach the death of Christ. We just saw Peter preach the resurrection of Christ. And now we see the ascension and the exaltation of Christ. Not only did Jesus rise from the grave, but he was also exalted at the right hand of the Father. The writer of Hebrews will remind us of that in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 12. He says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because it was finished. He sat down at the right hand of God. And now, as verse 33 states, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Peter's bringing it all back around to what was happening that day at Pentecost, okay? Remember the setting. It was chaotic. There's all these people there, obviously divine appointment. They're all speaking different languages, and the people that are there are hearing their own language. They're hearing about mighty works of God, and then Peter gets up and he preaches, and what does he preach? He preaches Christ crucified. He preaches the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and now the exaltation of Christ. Peter brings it all back around, all back around. Peter's preaching was full of Christ. This is why this sermon was so incredible. It's about Jesus. There's a lot of Christian self-help books out there. Lots of things like, here's how you do it. Here's how you do this. Here's the Christian version of how to keep a clean house. Here's the Christian version of how to work on your car. Here's the Christian version of how to be organized. Here's a Christian how to be a good office employee. You know what a good sermon is? You know what's going to change your life? Jesus. We need more Jesus, right? When I came back from my sabbatical, that's what God had told me. It's like, this is not a new vision. It's the same vision. It's not about programs and revamping and making something better or adding a whole bunch. He's like, you just need more Jesus. You need more Jesus in Sunday school. You need more Jesus in men's and women's ministry. You need more Jesus in the youth group. You need more Jesus in your services. You need just more Jesus. Because that's what's going to change our lives. The sermon was full of Christ, it was full of Scripture, and it was full of the Holy Spirit. Just remember, if you feel down or bad about yourself, just look at Peter, okay? Because just a few weeks before this sermon, what was he doing?
I don't know Jesus. I don't know him at all.
What, are you kidding me? I never walked around with him. No, of course not. Just a few weeks earlier, Peter was filled with pride. He denied Christ, and he was at the bottom. He felt a profound emptiness. But then what do we see Jesus do? What do we see Jesus do on the shores of Galilee? He's like, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter's emptiness led to fullness. Not fullness of himself, but fullness of the Holy Spirit. And this sermon was because Jesus was working through him. And this sermon was great because the sermon pointed people to Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his exaltation, and ultimately his love. And we're going to see next week, you guys know the story, we're going to see 3,000 people come to know Jesus that day. Not because Peter was such a great preacher. It's because the Holy Spirit was preaching through him. My question this morning is, do you know Christ? Do you know the love of Christ? Let me read this verse again. Please don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you truly know this love? I believe and I think there are some very religious people that need to hear how much Jesus loves them. Because religion, church membership, spinning monkey wheels, going to a bunch of stuff, being really busy with religion, that doesn't mean you know Jesus' love. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Guess what? You can. You can truly know his love today. But the only way to do that is to come to the end of ourselves. It's a poverty of spirit. Come like Peter. Peter had to come all the way to the bottom. And then Jesus says, I love you. We've got to come to the foot of the cross. We've got to come with humility. We've got to come at the end of ourselves to truly understand how much Jesus loves us. You want another? You want another question? Hard question? Just say yes or no. Okay, sweet. It's like, because it's the ending here. Here's a tough question. I believe you can handle it. Do you believe Jesus loves everyone? That's not so tough, Chris. Sure. John 3:16. Do you really believe that Jesus loves people that don't think and act and look and behave like you? That's where it gets tough, right? It's real easy for me to talk to a lost person that grew up in the Bible Belt and they're conservative or Republican or this or that, or they went to church when they were younger. I really believe Jesus loves them. Do you truly believe that Jesus loves people, all people? People that are not like you, people that are living in the darkness, people that are living in sin, people that are enemies of God, do you believe that Jesus loves them? Because if you do, then you're going to be able to go into the world and love people like Jesus loved you. You're going to be able to love people like Jesus loved people. That's the question. Will you, will I, will we be used by God to fulfill his great commission? Will you share the love of Christ, telling the story of his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension? He is alive and he loves the lost. He loves the law. And I think this series is reminding us of those things. It's taking us out of our comfort zone a little bit. It's forcing us to go, this is not a country club. This is a place that we gather and we worship, but then we are to go and make disciples. If we are to share Christ, we must continually come to the end of ourselves. So why? So we can be filled up by him. And then we can be used by him. And I think about this sermon from Peter, and many of us think, well, that was Peter. He walked with Jesus. I could never preach a sermon like that. I could never get my words right to preach Christ. Come on, Chris, you've got your Bible degree. You took preaching classes. You have a seminary degree. You've been trained. And you're telling me you still struggle with sharing the gospel? Let me give you some encouragement. And here's the answer. Okay? Don't go sign up for a preaching class, okay? All right, don't do that today. It's like, I gotta go share the gospel. I'm gonna go sign up for some preaching classes. Don't even go sign up for an evangelistic class, okay? Don't do it. Here's what you need to do this week. This is your answer. If you feel nervous, if you feel scared, if you feel like I can never do this, I don't know how to get my words right, how do I share Jesus with the lost world? Here's all you need to do, okay? Tomorrow, find some time and then open your Bible and then read it, okay? And then you can talk to him, talk to Jesus, spend some time with him. Tuesday, that's when you get your degree, right? No, Tuesday, you find some time. Maybe it's not the same time, but maybe it's some other time, or maybe it is the same time. You open your Bible, and you abide in him. There's your answer. Don't go buy another book, okay? Unless it's a Bible, and you don't have the Bible. Don't go buy another how-to Christian book, okay? Don't do it. I know you're tempted to do it. I know, especially men. Man, we, like, ooh, we got to go get another blueprint on how to fix this problem. No, don't do it. Just open this. Just open this. Why do we always run to human answers? Why don't we just spend time with the Lord? Don't buy another how to evangelize book, how to do this. Just abide in him. This last Wednesday, we were in our men's group, and we broke up into small groups. And there were four of us in my group, and we were talking about these different things. And really what came out of that was not like, here's how to do it. It was this: we need to abide in Christ. That was the answer. We hear we need to do this and do that and share the gospel and go make disciples, and we get all confused. And many of us are working so hard, and we're walking around with guilt and shame. We're like, I don't know how to do this, and I feel so bad because I don't. And we feel shame over our sin, and we're so busy trying to work really hard and check off all these religious lists and all this stuff. And really, what's the most important thing that we need to do? Simply abide in Christ. John 15:4-5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Here it is. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This is your encouragement, okay? If you want to fulfill the Great Commission, this is how to do it. Spend time with the Lord. Because he's the one that produces the fruit, right? He's the one that gives you the fruit to go and make disciples. He's the one that's going to fill you up. Because what do we do so much time? We're like, how am I supposed to preach Christ? I'm so imperfect. I'm so sinful. I don't know what to say. Stop. Be still. And just start by spending time with the Lord. Get filled up. And guess what? Christ says, if you will soak up me, if you will spend time with me, I will take care of the good fruit for you. That's the good news. That's the good news. I'm not opposed to education and stuff like that. But I feel like sometimes we leave this out. We leave our time with the Lord out, and we spend all this time like trying to learn things, when we really just need to spend time with the Lord, and then he fills us up. And then he produces the good fruit in our life. This is how Peter preached this great sermon. He was filled up by Christ. Christian, just start here this week. Don't be so terrified about the Great Commission. Just start spending time with him. And guess what? Things will come naturally. Divine appointments will be there. Conversations will come so naturally. You'll just be sitting by someone and the conversation will start because you're just being sensitive. You're just being used by the Holy Spirit. Empty yourself to be made full in Christ. And that is why Peter's sermon was so great. It was Christ in him. He just simply preached the good news of the gospel. He preached Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you for the cross, as we've seen. Thank you for reminding us of your love for us. Thank you for reminding us that this is about you. Thank you for reminding us that you're with us. Thank you for reminding us that to go and make disciples, it is not about us being so great. It's about emptying ourselves and being filled with you. Thank you for reminding us about your life and your death, your resurrection, your exaltation. Thank you for reminding us that's the gospel. It's not always our extra stuff and great stories and these things. Yes, there are great stories of you working in our lives personally. But Lord, the gospel is you. The good news is you. For God, you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. That whoever believes can have eternal life. Lord, help us to remember how much you loved people. That you went to the broken. You went to the lost. You didn't go to those religious people. You went to those that actually needed healing. Help us to remember and help us to look at people that are lost and love them like you did. God, so much in this message of Peter that he preached, because it's Christ. I thank you for this church, and I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts to get us excited, but also to get us to where we are emptying ourselves to be filled by you. And so excited to see the lost say, thank you. I pray if there's anyone here that's hearing this gospel and hearing Christ being preached, knowing that they need a Savior, I pray that they would come to you today. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I I pray that they would call on you today. I pray for Christians that maybe we just need to come to some places of repentance in our lives, whether it's struggle with sin or maybe it's just pride or maybe just a reminder of how much you love people, a reminder of what our mission is. God, just use this time to work. We love you. We give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.